It's here and now. And if you're just joining us, just moments ago, the jury in the marathon bombing trial of Jahar Tsarnaev returned its verdict, deciding against life in prison and a sentence of the death penalty.
Jahar Tsarnaev faced 17 counts that carried the possibility of the death penalty. The jury found him deserving of the death penalty in 6 of those counts, all of them specifically related to the pressure cooker bomb he put down at the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, that's Meghna Chakrabarty. I'm Robin Young. We are following closely this breaking news, and we want to bring in now Robert Gottlieb, a former New York City prosecutor, longtime criminal defense attorney, handled many death penalty cases. He's at the NPR studios in New York. And your reaction?
I'm not surprised by the ultimate verdict. I am surprised by the speed in which the jury determined to impose the death penalty. 14 hours, the jury went out on Wednesday. Even in minor charges, attorneys, prosecutors and defense attorneys can expect a jury to deliberate longer. So I am surprised that it was so quick, because it has to be unanimous. And to have 12 people in such a short period of time say the death penalty, with all that that entails and what it means, is a surprise.
And Robert Gottlieb, we're seeing reports from inside the courtroom at Boston Federal Court coming from reporters tweeting who are in there saying that at least 3 jurors are wiping away their tears, or were wiping away the tears, as this decision was read out loud. So it may have been quick, but clearly it wasn't easy for the jury. Now, what about the fact that they found for the death penalty on counts specifically related to the fact that, you know, he put down one of those bombs at the Boston Marathon bombing itself, but not related to the other actions that followed, shootouts in another town next to Boston, Watertown, etc.?
That actually makes sense. And it makes sense because the jury is instructed that they are to consider what's called aggravating factors. What did the defendant do? How did he do it? And is the conduct in a specific charge so terrible, so heinous, so indicative that he is so depraved of deserving the death penalty? Those are the counts in which they found the death penalty, meaning you put a pressure cooker where there are thousands of people gathered on such a beautiful day, knowing that that pressure cooker, once it explodes, can maim and kill young, old people, innocent people. You know darn well that by exploding a pressure cooker in that environment, there's no other explanation that other than you are just one depraved individual deserving of death. That's why the jury ultimately, I believe, found the death penalty on those counts.
Well, Robert Gottlieb, we so appreciate your input. We want you to stand by, though, if you wouldn't mind, for just a couple of minutes, because, yes, this is a verdict of death penalty. 4 people died: Crystal Campbell, Martin Richard, Lingzi Liu, and the MIT police officer, Sean Collier. But dozens were maimed for life. And we have a surviving victim of the Boston Marathon bombing on the line, and I want to make sure we hear her voice. Roseanne Stoya, are you there?
Hi, Robin. Yes, I am.
Roseanne, for our listeners across the country, you were one of those who, joined this horrendous community that was formed after the bombing of people who lost their limbs. You lost your right leg above the knee, so people know who you are. Your thoughts today?
Well, honestly, I am surprised. Understanding Massachusetts as a whole, being liberal and all that, and I have mixed feelings, for the death penalty and against the death penalty. And I am kind of shocked about it. And I just hope that going forward, however it rolls out, that things happen quickly and the news of him and his mention of his name goes away quickly.
Well, I think
that's what the most survivors want.
And just to remind our listeners outside of the city, this is a very tight-knit community of people, very gracious and generous to each other, people who have survived this bombing. And yet there is a difference of opinion. Very famously, Bill and Denise Richards, whose son, Martin Richard, was killed. She, the mother, was maimed. A daughter lost a leg. A family that was just horrifically impacted. They wrote an impassioned plea on the front page of the Boston Globe. They did not want the death penalty, specifically because they didn't want to have to hear about this over and over and over again, which happens with the appeals of the death penalty. Others like Liz Norden, I know you know Liz well, her two sons each lost a leg in the bombing. She wanted the death penalty. How have you all as a community been making your way through this with this difference of opinion?
I think personally for me, I look at it as though it is like discussing politics or religion in public. It's something that I don't choose to do.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has their opinions, and no one's right and no one's wrong. But, you know, for me, it's really, I've looked at it that I support the families of the deceased and what decisions that they want. Honestly, that's how I feel about it. I'm not sure about anybody else, but,
right.
You know, I'm still alive and I'm on my way to being, you know, as close to normal as I was prior. But, you know, these families now have to endure him in the news over and over again if there's appeals, et cetera. So whatever you know, they were hoping for is what I was supporting them mostly. And to me, it doesn't mean anything either way, whether he gets life or death. My leg is not going to grow back, and I can move on. But these families that have lost family members is the tough part that I have a hard time, you know.
Yeah.
Thinking about, I feel terrible for them.
Yeah, Rosanna. Actually, if I may ask you, you just touched on something which I know a lot of the other victims, families, and survivors have said, that one of the reasons why some of them may not have wanted the death penalty is because of the seemingly endless appeals process which follows that. I mean, I heard you just say that it's not going to affect how you live your life. But can you talk to us a little bit more about that? How is that going to have an impact on survivors and victims?
Everybody has handled it differently, and some people are affected more knowing and hearing his voice and seeing his name in the media. And I think it just brings up a lot of bad situations for some people that are definitely more affected by it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know the full reign of how this will play out after the fact now. But I just hope that he just goes away and we can all really kind of focus on moving on, because I think some people tend to dwell on it a little bit more when he's in the news. And it's just one of those things that I think we all just want it to go away.
Right. Roseanne, just a last question. We'll let you go. You've been very generous with your time. How was this like for you? I mean, those of us who were just here that week were, you know, saying, you know, we felt chills today. I mean, how was the last hour for you?
It's definitely been a heavy hour, one that's been waited for, and it's come down and it's over. And, you know, I really think it's something to move on.
Yeah. Rosanne Stoya, you know, we wish you the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.
Yeah. I want to bring back Robert Gottlieb, again, former prosecutor, longtime criminal defense attorney. And Robert, just touch on what she's talking about and what the Richard family and others, the sister of the murdered MIT police officer Sean Collier, also said, "I don't believe in the death penalty. That won't help me to go through the appeals process." This could take a long time.
It is going to take a long time. Any of the victims, the victims' families, it's such a personal view. It's a view of morality, of how you view the death penalty. The victims, you can't blame any victim in taking one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody should understand that the implications of the death penalty are great to the society, as well as to the whole notion of the criminal justice system. It's going to take years before the death penalty is actually inflicted. There's a required process going through a number of levels of courts before someone is put to death. The law requires properly that the entire matter be reviewed very carefully and thoroughly, because death is the ultimate. And so anyone who thinks that the case is over and you're not going to read about it is wrong. It will be in the news, but certainly it will recede as it stays now in the appellate courts.
Well, just to recap the breaking news today, a jury in Boston Federal Court has found Jahar Tsarnaev deserving of the death penalty on six counts that he was facing. They just found this verdict in the past hour or so. We'll keep covering it when we come back. This is Here and Now.
And we are covering breaking news. The jury in the marathon bombing trial of Jahar Tsarnaev has returned its verdict. They have decided for the death penalty in the case of the 21-year-old who was charged on 30 counts, including 17 death penalty counts. As you'll remember in, you know, the coverage that we've had, this was a death penalty trial, federal death penalty, because Massachusetts does not have the death penalty. And the jury was death penalty qualified. They had to say that they would be able to vote for the death penalty if they saw fit, given the evidence that they were shown. We've been talking with Robert Gottlieb, a former New York City prosecutor and a longtime criminal defense attorney who's handled death penalty cases. And Robert, I think it's fair to say, we should say it if it's not underscored by the work that you do. You're against the death penalty in general. You handle death penalty cases.
That's correct.
Right. And you were just saying that because there's the death penalty, it means there are going to be many appeals. And there's a nutty little part of this. I mean, there's such a human factor here, and we're going to be getting back to that. We have other people waiting to that we want to speak with. But there's a nutty part here that I hope you can explain to people. While Jahar Tsarnaev's team, his defense team, admitted that he committed the crimes that he was charged of, he never pled guilty. Wasn't that so that he would be able to appeal a death penalty charge or sentence?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. This allows the defense to continue the appellate process to say, one, the initial decision to try it in Boston as opposed to changing venue is now going to be reviewed by the appellate courts. Any decisions restricting evidence or allowing certain evidence of the objection of the defense now is going to be reviewed. This is all part of the process that the defense will use in order to ultimately save his life. That was the intention of the defense from day one. They were not going to play games with the jury. They said the evidence was clear that he committed the acts, but they said the death penalty should be reserved for the worst of the worst. And they tried to portray his brother as being the worst. And so on a relative basis, they said that he should spend the rest of his life locked away.
Well, and that did not work. Meghna and I have been following along. The verdict document is 24 pages long, and it goes through the charges, but also the mitigating factors, the factors that the defense team put forward saying this should lessen your wanting to make it a death penalty. And Meghna, I know you were sort of – there's a space where you can check off what the votes were.
Right.
It did not seem to work, Meghna, that the Tamerlan defense.
No. As we were following, it seems that in the mitigating factors, the number of jurors who believed any particular mitigating factor had to be reported. And the ones in which it was questioned of whether or not Tamerlan Tsarnaev, Jahar Tsarnaev's older brother, was sort of the dominant force behind the bombings, a minority of jurors seemed to believe those mitigating factors. I'm seeing, you know, was Tamerlan Tsarnaev the dominant factor? Three jurors believed that. Was Tamerlan Tsarnaev dominant because of the illness of their father? Two jurors believed that. Was Tamerlan Tsarnaev radicalized first? Only five jurors believed that. So this central tenet of Judy Clark, Jahar Tsarnaev's defense attorney, didn't seem to convince even half the jurors.
I'll tell you, that's obvious here because, again, the verdict was so fast. If there were more jurors who were buying into the mitigating factors, I assure you that the deliberations would have continued. People do not quickly say death if they believe there's real mitigation. So what you're reading isn't a surprise at all.
And you said that the death penalty ought to be reserved for the worst of the worst. I also note that in a non-aggravating factor, did Jahar Tsarnaev show any lack of remorse? All jurors said yes. They believed he showed total lack of remorse.
Total lack of remorse. Hold on one second, Robert. We have Jack Lepiarz, who's WBUR reporter at our home station here, who's been at this court throughout this trial. He joins us now on the cell phone. Jack, just tell us, we heard that from the tweets that were coming out of the courtroom that you could have heard a pin drop, that it was astonishingly tense and quiet. What's the mood there now?
I tell you what, Robin, it was amazingly tense. In the moment, I mean, my heart rate, I felt like I had just run 10 miles. My heart was going so fast. But in the courtroom, it was absolute silence. Normally, we see Jahar Tsarnaev walk into the courtroom. He starts chatting, joking around with his lawyers. No, not this time. This time, he walked in. He and his three lawyers up at the front defense table, all just looking straight ahead. Miriam Conrad, who's oftentimes looking around the courtroom, smiling, chewing gum very emphatically, this time, stone stone, still as a stone, yeah, staring straight ahead.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's a reminder that when you say you were feeling this, I mean, we all are. People across the country know that this was an attack on the whole city, not just the initial attack, but then the chase at the end of the week. We saw weeping, apparently, from jurors in the few seconds we have. What about the victim survivors? What are you seeing?
I saw in the back of the courtroom, I was watching a few of them. You could see some of them with their hands over the mouth, some of them nodding quickly. The biggest thing was Liz Nord, the mother of two men who lost legs, her hand over her mouth, watching the whole thing.
Yeah, she had said, "I want to see justice for my boys." And obviously, well, we can assume she feels that. Jack Lapierre of WBUR at the federal courthouse here in Boston, where the jury has returned a verdict, the death penalty for Jahar Tsarnaev. Jack, thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to Here and Now.